Welcome to the For the Go podcast. We are back. Week one is in the books. 49ers are 1-0, as so is the rest of the NFC West. Go fucking figure. It was a tough win. They got the win, whatever. But they end up getting another loss on Monday with the news of Raheem Mostert. Or Tuesday, excuse me, with Raheem Mostert being out for the season. Other than that, the 49ers are in West Virginia right now at the Greenbrier. Here we go. On to Philadelphia. They're in your neck of the woods, Fernando. Our old, you know, my hometown.
Yeah, man. Don't forget. That's where you're from.
How's everything your way, bro?
Doing all right, man. Doing all right. Just grinding through the week. I told you these Philadelphia fans, it's painful. It's painful hearing them every day. Just Fern, you ready? Oh, we're coming. You better be careful. We look good. Jalen Hurts and blah, blah, blah. And you guys almost blew it. You almost blew it. So yeah. I need the faithful that's going to be there to be loud. Let's have some fun because we're gonna do some work. We're going to put in some work on Sunday. So I need that so that I can get back on that Zoom meeting on Monday with a big smile on my face. I'll wear my jersey. I don't care if it's not professional. I want to rub it in their faces a little bit.
Business casual, if you put a jersey on, right?
I thought it was business casual.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you're wearing a tuxedo to an interview.
Yeah, right?
The poor one up for Raheem Mostert, so everyone out there knows how he's going to drink a little bit tonight. I've been on this kick of cucumber vodka.
Okay. So we're going to
have cucumber vodka and lime with ginger ale.
Cucumber, lime, vodka with ginger ale.
Premium ginger ale, by the way. My wife thinks I'm bougie. She's like, you spend $7 on 4 bottles of ginger ale. So
that's whatever. A little bougie. But if it's good, I got some.
Absolutely delicious. It's refreshing.
Yeah. Are you rocking the rocks? Oh, no, you said vodka. You're not doing tequila today.
No, tequila tonight. Just a little bit of vodka. I got to work tomorrow.
I see.
I might get a little too loose.
Yeah, I got some Bethlehem Brew Works. So our hometown, right? I have a little double IPA. It's some kind of strawberry India pale ale. It's delicious. It's delicious though.
Yeah. So the comments are starting to come in. What's up, gentlemen? Rooting for Fern to make it through the week of shit talking from Philly fans. Yeah. Fern's got to deal with that shit up there.
I'm staying quiet because last year I ran my mouth. and I had to fucking eat that. So I'm not saying a word this year. I'm just not saying a word, and let's catch a W.
Yeah, shout out to Ruben. Ginger ale, all other clear sodas. Absolutely. Ginger ale is elite.
It goes. Am I the only one that only drinks ginger ale on an airplane?
I do.
I swear to God, that's my go-to soda on an airplane, and I don't ever ask for ginger ale almost ever outside of an airplane. But
yeah, I'm a ginger ale guy. Ginger ale is, absolutely the best. The 49ers are going to Philadelphia right now. They are currently in the Greenbrier in West Virginia. They are practicing there. They practice today, and they will be practicing tomorrow. So first, highlight a few things. Kinlaw is still missing practice. This is starting to become a concern of mine. I love the kid out of the draft. Thought he had a really good season last year, regardless of the sack numbers. You know, he did have the pick six, but had plenty of pressures, QB hits, was a really good run defender. And we saw him missing, what the impact was on the defensive line. Him missing this week, if he does miss this week, that is huge because the Eagles do have a mobile quarterback.
That's right. And
you know where I stand on this wide nine. I absolutely hate it. But if you're going to run it, you need a big ass dude like that in the middle of the defensive line. And he may not play this week.
It is extremely alarming. This is why I tweeted earlier. It's had me in like a pissy mood, man, because when you're talking about a knee on a big guy like that and the thing just keeps swelling and it's like, all right, well, 10 days off and this, and it's looking better. I mean, those aren't things that just all of a sudden he's going to wake up one day and it's gone like that. I mean, it's going to be a battling knee swelling constantly. If there's not anything structurally wrong and we're just talking like, you know, he's gotten work done, he's got things cleaned up, and he's just constantly swelling. I don't see how that's not going to be something that he's going to have to continue to work on for his entire career. And I don't know what the resolution is or how we solve this altogether, but it's alarming, man. I mean, it's extremely important that he's out there and he's productive, because if he's not, then forever we're going to talk about this DeForest Buckner trade. Okay. And it's going to just to nausea. Now, granted, what, right? So you get Brandon and Kinlaw, right, for this DeForest Buckner. That all happens. But now you're going to sit there and go, well, would you rather have DeForest Buckner than both of those guys? Like, and that's a question that if he's not healthy, that you're constantly going to have. And it's unfortunate, but it's a tough one. I mean, he's a big ass dude. And if his knee's swelling and there's nothing structurally wrong and it's just constant maintenance, I mean, this is going to be something that we're dealing with for years. I don't see how all of a sudden we get past this. And it's scary, man.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. Kyle Shanahan, he said, it still hasn't healed quite as right as we want. This is going back to the Dallas Cowboy game.
Yeah.
That's a long ass time for this to still be a lingering issue. It is a problem. One thing that is underrated about all this is the durability of DeForest Buckner. Like, mm-hmm. DeForest would play 900 snaps and no problem. I mean, he played all last year with what, broken hand or whatever it was. And he still had an all pro year. You know, it sucks that Kinlaw is always going to be tied to DeForest Buckner, but it is what it is. If the Niners were to call Indianapolis right now and offer Kinlaw and Armstead for Defoe, you think Indianapolis takes that trade?
I'm pretty sure they don't even pick up the phone.
Yeah.
Or they laugh. They might laugh and hang up. I don't know. I mean, honestly, at this point, Kinlaw is just going to have to get used to DeForest Buckner being a constant mention every time people bring his name up. And I agree, Tech. Like, hindsight is a bitch. We could look through drafts, right? Draft picks. I hate doing it. I mean, sometimes for fun when I'm drinking, I like to look at drafts and what could have been and this, that, and the other. But, you know, I think I understand why they made the move they made. It makes sense, even though, you know, you can look back and be like, well, hey, they could have financially afforded to keep both of these guys. But look, at the end of the day, they made the move. We got what we believe could be a top-notch wide receiver in this game and can be a damn good tackle in this game in Kinlaw. But we got to figure out a way of how do we manage Kinlaw. And I just think that's maybe what they're working on, because I don't think this kid's ever going to be 100%. That knee will be 100%. I think he's going to be one of those guys that maybe might not be doing a lot during the week, and we manage the knee, and then he goes out there and plays on the weekend. So I don't know. I'm not sure what you think.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Zach, he brings it up. Do you think they're waiting until Kinlaw is absolutely 100%? Yeah, absolutely. You've invested a lot in this, right? You sent off DeForest Buckner, and you got the 13th overall pick. You traded back to 14. You took him. You invested a first-round pick in this guy. You're going to see this all the way through. I mean, shit, Jalen Hurd is still on this team, and he's a third-rounder, and he hasn't played a snap on offense. So, yeah, they're going to wait this out. They're going to ride this through, see how this works out. But they need him sooner than later. Just let's be very, very clear. They need him sooner than later, because after this Philadelphia game, it doesn't get any easier. Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, and Kyler Murray. Like, you need a guy like that. And then all three of those teams can run the ball. So you need that.
Yep. I would not mess with Kinlaw's knee until midweek next week and see what it's looking like.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be round-the-clock treatment, and can we get this guy ready to go for Green Bay? And that would be my number one. So I honestly, I think that's where, Kyle's head's at. Even though I know early in the week he's like, hey, you know, hopeful maybe he can play. I'm hoping that he could play this week, but he's obviously not going to play this week, and I wouldn't want him to anyway. I mean, if it's just starting to, the swelling's going down and he's starting to get a little more mobile, then keep this dude on ice and let's let him go get some run against Green Bay, because he's too important. I'd rather stagger him in that regard and take some of that pressure off of his knee and go forward. But another thing to bring up, I mean, you brought up Hurd, and we've got Kinlaw, who there were signs of, you know, knee issues and kind of some health concerns here and there from him anyway, even going in the draft a little bit, some conversations about his body. And I think, you know, the more you think about it, it's like, what's with the Niners, like, being so fixated on hoping they get a year or two healthy as some of these guys? Like, the health concerns for a team that we've had a lot of issues with health to begin with.
Yeah.
And durability is a big thing that we should be looking at when we're looking at drafting guys and how healthy are they and where are we going, free agents, looking at those kind of things. And we've got a guy like Hurd on the roster. We've got a tackle who is a promising young stud. And look, I hope he gets right and he goes out there and balls and he's an all pro for years. But if he's not right, now you're talking Hurd's on the shelf. Kinlaw's going to be in and out here and there, swollen knee, gone a couple weeks, play a couple snaps. And it just starts to think like, how are we building this team to last? And it gets, did he ate a bad squirrel? Maybe he did. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe the whole squirrel diet should go away. I'm not sure, but it just makes me nervous because I feel like we've got a deep team. There's positions that obviously I wish we had a little more depth, but man, we can't afford, as much as we have nice depth on the defensive line, we still need him as a starter. He's got to be out there as a starter. Rotationally, I heard earlier in the week, and maybe it was today, that Kerr was getting pushed around a little bit. And I think Kerr's a great player, but maybe not so much every down kind of guy. Like, let's rotationally bring him in for certain things. And now we're limiting that, and we're getting back to we're digging in already, and we're at week two.
Yeah. So yeah, Ayuk seems to be a big topic of conversation. So let's get to that real quick. I want to make sure I have the right clip here on Ayuk. Should be this one. Give me just a second. Oh, that's not it. Here we go.
There's an exhale there, like he took his foot off the gas pedal a little bit.
Not totally. I mean, we just, it's kind of what anytime that you do have a setback with a hamstring and you have a guy behind you playing as well as Trent's played. I know Trent wasn't a first-round draft pick and stuff, so that might not be as obvious with the talent level and stuff, but he's been a hell of a football player since he's been here. Ayuk's been a little inconsistent because he's been in and out with his injury and stuff, and that's what we felt was the best chance for us this week. Last week, Ayuk still's got a chance to get that spot up and not rotate as much. Trent just doesn't make that very easy. So these 3 days are important in practice, how we balance out our game plan, how we balance out our routes, and I'm happy with Ayuk. It's nothing against Ayuk. I'm just also happy with Trent too, and I think both of them can continue to get better.
I don't know, man. The way he said it, he says, I'm happy with Ayuk. It's nothing against Ayuk. I'm just happy. I'm also happy with Trent too, and I think both of them can continue to get better. Yeah, of course, they can both continue to get better. But this is your first round pick. Just some rumbling last couple days is, Ayuk's been inconsistent, which is what Kyle said. Drop passes in practice. We saw a video today where he dropped a couple passes. I don't think this is anything where Kyle has him in the doghouse. I think this is more so Kyle just has a higher expectation for him. I don't think he's pissed off at him. This is not a Dante Pettis situation, I don't think. And for all we know, Kyle could be just playing this off and whatever, and Ayuk goes nuts next week or this week, 9 receptions, 160, and a touchdown. You know what I mean? So
you said, you called it.
I think
so I'm keeping really him in my lineup. I'm keeping him in my fantasy lineup because you said it, Javi.
Hey, listen, I'm not a fantasy expert. I got my ass kicked this week, although it was more so because I lost Mostert early, and then I think Aaron Rodgers didn't do anything for me, so there's that.
I hear you.
Yeah, so – and I think Tech said it best here. It read, I'm a coach, best available player. So, yeah, I think he went with what was best available or what was best for the team this week with Trent Sherfield, who's earned the right to take these snaps. So, I'm not tripping right now. If it was like week 8 and we're still doing this shit, then we got a problem.
Yeah, I think this is one of those classic cases of a coach making it very clear to a star player right within this locker room that you got to go. Like, you got to be ready and you got to ball. And it's at a position where you got a guy like Trent who has been playing well for quite some time.
I wish.
Javi, okay, Slim?
No. The Peloton, I guess. I'm on Peloton time right now.
Oh, there we go. But no, I mean, this is actually a circumstance. Like, he's calling him out a little bit, like, yo, like, one, like you said, if it was all hamstring, would you be returning a punt? or a kick, or like,
yeah,
odds are no, right? Why pop the hammy at that? Like, it doesn't make sense. And you also had zero targets
on 26 snaps,
zero target, not one play were we looking at you to actually throw the ball to.
And so, on tape, he was wide open, by the way.
So there's a little bit more than just like, hey, I really like, you know, hey, it is what it is. Trent's playing really well. He's trying to see how Brandon responds to this. Like, let's get to practice, you know, make sure you're taking care of that hammy, and we're going out there and we're still grinding and we're not taking our foot off the gas just because you are Ayuk and you're probably our best overall wide receiver, talent wise, route tree, the whole nine. So I like this move. Now, my issue is a lot of these young dudes, they can get a little soft emotionally when someone calls them out. You know, this is an old school ball where you can just tell a dude to get his shit together and see how, you know, and see how he responds. And I think that's a little bit, Kyle's trying to finesse this a little bit, but I think that's what he's trying to do. Let's fucking go, bro. We need you. Like, we need you out there. We need you at a high level. And there's this younger guy, or there's this other player here who's out here busting his ass, and I'm going to reward him with targets and playing time. And we'll see how Brandon responds. But I mean, for our sake, we need him to be at a high level, because I truthfully think the season's going to come down to our offense is going to have to perform at a high level, because I do think we have some weaknesses on defense and we're going to be susceptible to a couple things, especially with our injuries in the secondary. So it is what it is. Brandon's got to step up and get healthy, get right, and go out there and bust his ass. And we're not talking on Sundays. We're talking during the week, because this is obviously during a week kind of thing, right? This is a camp thing. This is a how you're looking in the locker room, how you are on the field during practices when your coaches are looking at you to step up as a leader and work your ass off. So we'll see. I'm hoping for a really nice response from him.
Yeah, I'm hope so. I really hope it's like a 9 reception, 160 game for him this week. And all this just dies off, because Ayuk was my favorite receiver in the draft. I think everyone can go search my Twitter mentions. It's there. Ayuk was my guy through all this. So I'm all the way in on Ayuk. You said it, the Niners are thin a corner. They did add Dre Kirkpatrick, and you had some numbers from PFF on Dre. They aren't very good. This is a late signing. This was someone that they worked out during camp. It didn't materialize. And just rewatching some of last year, he got absolutely smoked against the Seahawks, which isn't uncommon with guys like DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett running routes and Russell Wilson throwing the ball all over the damn place. But this one doesn't move the needle for me very much. I'm hopeful that maybe this Cam Dantzler thing comes to fruition. Maybe there's something there. You know, he was a guy that the Niners had interest in last year's draft. Obviously, they didn't draft him, but you got to do something. I think I was on with Al Sacco for the 49ers website, and we talked about it. Like, you and I spoke about it. We had Croc on the show. We had other people on the show. We spoke to – well, not you and I, but we spoke to Ben St. Juice. I spoke to Keith Taylor from Washington. My focus was corner in round two. We take an offensive lineman. We can't get anything out of him right now. And the need is there at corner, right? If you lost Verrett, you were thin, regardless of how we feel about Emmanuel Mosley. Did the Niners drop the ball on this cornerback?
I'm going to say they dropped the ball. Because how the hell are you supposed to count on Jason Verrett? And that is a kid, that's a guy who is an all-pro when he's healthy. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, how can you count on him? Like, what made you think that he was a guy that, hey, we don't need to make a draft. We don't got to draft a corner because we got Jason. He had a good year last year. He did. He had a hell of a year last year. Awesome. But how do you count on him as an organization to sustain that for a couple years? How do you do that and disregard corner? And that's what pisses me off about that. It's not that they drafted Banks.
It's just not a hindsight thing either, because we said it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I get it. That's a position that I thought we needed too, right? Offensive line. I still think that that's a position that I want us to hit on at a high level. And that's gonna involve using some resources to get a, you know, decent draft pick and get ourselves an offensive lineman. But at that position where we were at, there were still good corners. And we decided to go offensive line. And look, if it hits and Banks was out there starting, and this is where hindsight can just, it just fucks with your mind. We're probably not talking so much about it if he's out there contributing at a high level, Banks, but he isn't. And there are corners who are going out there and looking pretty good. And we could sure use him right now. But the organization had thought we'll invest a little bit later down in the draft. And that didn't pan out except for, you know, Lenore. But outside of that, you know, that's to expect him to contribute. I know I didn't want to say Asante Samuju, but that's what I was thinking of as well. Like, God, that's there for you to take.
Yeah.
And if you do that, you're in a much better place right now. Like, okay, Jason got hurt, but we invested and we have a kid who's more than capable of taking on a lot more responsibility. Instead, now this is a big issue because he's hurt. Our secondary is where it is. Kinlaw's hurt. So now our secondary and the pressure that we thought we were going to bring on the offensive line is also now in question, especially up the middle. And we saw how exposed we were with that wide nine and not having Kinlaw in there. So it becomes a bigger issue. It's a domino, but man, how do you just look at Jason and just say like, oh no, we're good. Like, we're good. And that's no offense to Jason. Like, that just doesn't make, like, you have to expect someone to be who they are. And at this point in Jason's career, he has shown an inability through unfortunate injuries that it's not someone that you could just rely on. It's not like you brought him in and he had never had injuries and unfortunately got a little hurt and he got right and he's good. This has been something that's going on constantly. Like, come on.
Yeah, but, no. And text in the comments here. Bank is not the first O-line to take a minute. Absolutely. No, that's fine. He can take a little bit of time. But when you're drafted second in the second round, we should expect to see him start or at least push to start, and he's not even doing that right now. Jalen Moore got, you know, more love than Aaron Banks did, right? And I think Matt Maiocca brought up a really, really unique, you know, the way he worded it was like Banks, Sermon, Ambry were your first, you know, your three picks in the first half of the draft, and then Lenore, Moore, and Mitchell are the bottom three guys, and those three guys are playing better than if you flip the draft upside down, you hit, and the other three guys are whatever. So it's just one of them things.
And if Ambry was ready, and if Ambry was ready and competing with Lenore, like, I would feel better about it. But every single time I watch Ambry on the field, I'm like, I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm not a corner, but I don't know. It's not looking great.
Yeah. So Ruben in the comments, they draft two corners. They draft two corners at third and fifth. They did invest. Yeah, they did invest. However, this draft class specifically was top heavy. Very, very top heavy. So if you had the opportunity in the second round to grab an Asante Samuels Jr., Tyson Campbell was obviously off the board by then, but there were other corners taken in that second round that you probably could have had had you not traded back to, you know, to 40, 48, whatever it was when they selected him. Yeah. You could have been in the reins to grab a guy that you wanted. It's you know, it's just it's a tough situation. I just wanted a corner.
Yep, hindsight lineman. Right.
Mm-hmm. I wanted a corner more than an offensive lineman, but I am happy with Lenore. E-Man needs to get healthy. Verrett, unfortunately, this is probably his last snap as a Niner. It just sucks right now. So they need to do something, and hopefully this Cam Dantzler thing comes to fruition. I liked him out of Mississippi State. There are some reports that the Niners have reached out to Minnesota. I heard about it early on yesterday, and then David Lombardi wrote about it in The Athletic a couple hours later. So there's some stuff going out there that Cam Dantzler and the Niners in Minnesota have been talking. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
It would be. You know, he's buried on the depth chart, so who knows what has happened over there at Minnesota. But the Niners need to do something at corner, at the very least. They need to bring in something. I'm not counting on Josh Norman to be too much, but you know, it is what it is on there.
Yeah, and I don't know what to really expect from Dre. Like, I don't.
Yeah, I don't either.
Like, I'm not sure how to really take the signing because, you know, talking to you even a little bit earlier today, right? I mean, it was. Now again, this is PFF, and I'm not. This is not the Bible, and I'm not going off of like. again, in the right situation, he could excel. So I'm not saying that that's not that he's not going to have an opportunity to excel in our defense. But I mean, it's been since 2016. 2016 was the last time the dude was above, you know, above 70 in coverage and a coverage grade for PFF. That was 2016. And of recent, 2020 was awful, right, in coverage. And, you know, again, yes, Dre is better zone than man, absolutely, and we run a lot of zone. So, again, the situation might fit and he might excel, but it's not something, it's not a signing that I'm looking at going, now that's the one right there. Like that, the, here we go, we're yeah. we're good. Like, I don't know. It, maybe it works and it just fits perfectly. But again, yeah, with our pass rush, that's, I mean, sure. yes, any quarterback, but I, you know, just having to go out there and grab Dre Kirkpatrick isn't making me feel super comfortable. Like I don't feel like, oh, well, we're good here with our pass rush. We'll be fine. I don't know, man. I mean, we're talking about, you know, Lenore out there. We need E-Man to get healthy. Absolutely. Yep. But I don't know how this is all going to pan out. And I hope Dre fits perfectly and we can keep things going and our other corners step up and we're good to go. What do we have from Cassidy? What was that?
Cassidy, a bunch of young 49ers RBs and a strong Philly D line means you may be right. SF invested a lot in improving straight drop pass protection that might need to shine Sunday in front of Garoppolo. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Niners mm-hmm. need to protect Garoppolo. We'll get to all that stuff for the keys of the game. Just covering up some things from earlier in the week, or the, you know, this is Wednesday, but whatever.
Yeah, you know,
we added two running backs as well. So
yeah, well, we added two running backs, and you mentioned about Mostert being done for the year.
Yeah.
Do you think that he's a Niner? Do you think he's running the ball next year for us?
I don't know. I mean,
like, I mean, I'm not, I like the guy. I'm not, yeah, I think he's a baller, but like just considering his contract, where we're at, you know, with other additional signings and then where we're at with some of our young running backs, like, is this a guy who's actually going to realistically be our running back next year?
Yeah, I'm going to go with no. I don't think most will be back this year. You can't keep going back to the well, right? You can't. This goes back to the whole injury stuff with the 49ers. So you can't keep counting on guys who have an injury history, right? The whole mm-hmm. process with the Niners and being injured so much over the last 3, 4, 5 years is there's got to be a problem with the scouting process and that maybe the medical process of the scouting system, because you can't keep getting these guys and then they're gone for you for a year or they're gone for weeks. They're missing time. You can't do that. The Niners have had the most ACL injuries since 2017.
Yeah.
That's not a coincidence. There's something wrong with the scouting department. And I don't even think there's a training department thing. This might be just in a scouting system. You know, the Niners have this money ball type mentality when they used to do that stuff with Balky. Oh, yeah, we'll get great value with this guy in the fourth who could have been a first round pick. The only reason he's the fourth is because he tore his ACL. Nah, man. Like, nah, we don't need to keep doing that stuff. You know,
is he an unrestricted free agent next year?
Yeah, he'll be unrestricted.
So, yeah, I mean, there's
I would let that thing go. I'd let it go. And just, you know, you keep hitting on late guys. Breida was a hit for the 1 year.
I mean, it's unfortunate. Great
Sunday.
He did. Elijah did look good, and we didn't even get to see Trey. So, I mean, those are two young backs right there. So it's going to be tough for the Niners to want to spend any money on another running back, and you know, especially Raheem at that point. So I don't know. It's unfortunate, but I do wish him well. A speedy recovery, because he's a dynamite back, man.
Yeah, when he's healthy, he's great. It's just, you know, the Niners can't keep going back to that well with Mostert or just any of these injured guys. And you know, I know Kyle loves Jalen Hurd, but if he's not playing by week 5, like, let's just ax that thing too. Like, what are we doing? So we'll get to this game here. The Niners are going to be in Philadelphia for week 2.
Yeah.
Was watching the Atlanta game. and the Philadelphia defense and the offense. Philadelphia's defense, strong point. I think everyone will agree. Their defensive line is their strongest. Their lines, both of their lines, offensive line and defensive line, are probably their strongest groups. However, behind that defensive line is Swiss cheese. And the linebackers are terrible.
So bad.
They're very bad.
So bad.
The safeties aren't very good. And the corners are just, I think the corner situation in Philadelphia is worse than ours.
I'm not sure how I feel, because I do like Darius Slay quite a bit.
Okay, well, yeah, there's Slay. That's right. Slay's decent.
And
Slay's
and then Steven Nelson is early, is only after week one, and it was Atlanta, but he did all right. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of holes outside of that front.
Yeah, the linebackers are where I'm looking at directly. George Kittle last year, 15 receptions, 183 yards against a similar set of linebackers. I fully expect the Niners to use a lot of play action and the run game in this game. Just looking at what Atlanta got to do, and they didn't do very much, but they did run the ball well, and they ran play action well. These guys did bite on play action like it was going out of style on Sunday against Atlanta. Kyle's going to be able to use similar formations and run a whole bunch of stuff off it, and that's going to confuse them. So on offense, I'm not too worried about it.
No.
Mac in the comments, juice TD this week, wheel route. Yeah, I mean, as long as Collins not throwing the ball, we should hit that one, right? That's so
favorite lottery.
Yeah, so you got the little Y leak out there with use check. The only thing that concerns me is McGlinchey against Brandon Graham.
I think this is going to be a thing almost week to week where we're going to talk about our offensive line, and on that right side of the line, we're going to get a little nervous. And yeah, I mean, Brandon Graham's no joke. I mean, that's a tough ask, but I did overall like what I saw last week. Like I feel pretty good about it. And I do think we'll be able to weather that storm, especially because of the threat of our run game and the play action. I think if we use the play action and we use Kittle more, we'll be able to hopefully neutralize that a little bit and just get, you know, slow them down a little bit, slow them down and be able to take advantage of those linebackers. If we can run the ball effectively like we did last week, initially off the bat, because with their defensive line, I mean, it might not work the first couple series running the ball. I mean, they may be completely dead set on let's stop that first and let's see what Jimmy does, which most teams are going to try and do anyway. Let's stop the run game because everything's predicated off that, especially all that stuff over the middle of the field. You know, that's predicated on linebackers kind of biting on the run and then going up and over or something along those lines. So let's see how it looks. You know, my biggest fear is they don't have a running game that scares me, but they have a running back at quarterback. And that's what scares me more than anything. And, you know, Rager, I thought looked pretty good. Like, you know, I'm interested to see what it looks like this week. But having that quarterback, and they embrace it. I mean, he's moving outside of the pocket all the time. If you're looking at the touchdowns he threw or the big plays last week, yeah, there were definitely a few within the pocket, but everything was, there was some kind of action moving out to his right. So that kind of movement is what's going to scare me, because we're going to have to definitely plan for that, because once it happens, let's see, Cass. If I'm a D coordinator, I'm bringing the blitz from the right side of the Eagles formation. Absolutely. Hurts loves to go right. And that's from me watching some of the highlights, everything big, the big plays are happening when he was moving out right and then finding these wide receivers. So if we can neutralize that, I feel good. But with where our corners are at, if he's getting outside and getting off to the right, that makes me really nervous, because I think it's going to be similar to, you know, those spurts where Kyler would just go off and they'd start just breaking, going down the field on us and driving. And I could see that happening. Hopefully we're a little bend, don't break kind of defense, but it is, we're going to have to pay attention to it because Hurts is their running back and quarterback all in one because they don't have a defined running game in Philadelphia right now.
Yeah. Tech says it in the comments here. We do over pursue still. Yeah, this is something that Niners kind of got away from over pursuing later on in the last, in 2019, back end of it. And then first week of 2020 against the Cardinals, yes, Kyler got loose a little bit there. But if you go back and watch, Bosa would stop, read, and then react instead of just rush. He would stop, read, react, and go from there. And I hope they kind of do that again in this situation because Jalen Hurts can get, you know, he can scoot a little bit, right? And you just said it. He's going to run it. He's going to want to escape right. And he's going to escape right because Lane Johnson is one of the best right tackles in football, plain and simple. So there's that. When it comes to the Niners and their wide receivers, the Niners in the corners, versus Rager and Devontae Smith, that's where I kind of get a little worried. I do trust Diamondo Lenore. I liked everything I saw on tape outside of two plays. So I'm okay with him. It's just I'm worried about the other side. Is Josh Norman going to play? Is E-Man going to play? How do we defend these wide receivers? Quez Watkins is a 4-2 guy. Like, my God. And Jalen Rager is like a 4-4 guy. So it's just – it is going to be a tough cover for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it – and if Hurts is rolling out and buying time, it becomes an even tougher ask for these corners and our safeties to be able to stay with these guys. The longer we let this dude run around, the harder it's going to be. So hopefully, you know, you remember the all gas, no brakes kind of philosophy. And I like that to a degree. But there's going to be situations, and these are going to be one of those situations that we are going to have to be fundamentally sound and be able to hold and take away certain lanes that make Hurts feel comfortable. And that's going to be one of them. And if that means maybe we're not just running in there real fast and we're staying out a little wider on that right side and we're making sure that we have someone accountable for him at all times, then cool. But I just... that's the one thing that scares me, because if we can slow that down, I don't the Eagles don't bother me at all. But if we let him run around back there and just start making plays happen, Hurts will hurt you. It's true. And yeah. And I will say something though to all these fucking fake Eagles fans. All off season, all I kept hearing about was, "Oh, I don't know about Hurts. I'm not sure." One win against the Falcons, and wow, did that stop? Like that's the dude now. That like blows my mind. That's the same way when Donovan was out there, and I was like, "Hey, that's your guy. You love him. He can't throw a slant. Like this dude, he could throw a 60-yard bomb. Are you sure?" But this dude could throw one slant into the ground and then the next one would be accurate. And these Eagles fans crack me up because when they love somebody, they love them. And the second they switch up real fast. And there was, what did somebody say in one of my Zoom meetings? They said they're the most passionate fans in all of football. And I said, "Oh, I'm sorry. Did you mean delusional by passionate? Did you mean delusional?" And that's what I said, and that didn't go over great because most of those guys are from Philly. So, but
it's all right.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. I mean, I have an Eagles
fan. Cowboys fans are worse. Cowboys fans are worse.
They're,
you know that. They're worse.
They lost. They lost on Thursday, and they swear they're as good as the Bucks. Like, what?
You would have thought the Cowboys won a Super Bowl like 3 years ago the way these guys talk.
It's insane. It is something else.
What do you think about the tight ends for the Eagles?
They're good. I mean,
Zekers, that's going to be an issue, right? I mean, it's going to be more outside than it is going to be in there, yeah. Right? I would think.
So my thing was I didn't want to see as much zone with the linebackers. Watching Al Shaheer today. I kind of wanted to see Warner and Azeez this week. I think those two can take away both those tight ends. I think they both can cover very well. So you know,
I like Aziz right now.
I'd like to see some more man. I'd like to see what Tart does in this situation. Maybe run three safety looks so that way you're covering both tight ends because you know they're going to use both at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to take away one. You have to at least take away one of them. You can't have them both going nuts because Ertz is still a viable tight end, and Dallas Goedert is, you know, a guy who's going to get paid, or if he already got paid. Either way, that is something to worry about. It's something else. Now, Philadelphia, so Jesse in the comments, protect yourself in Philly if y'all are going. No joke out there. You'll be all right, man. We're from the area, Jesse. You're going to we'll be all right. Right.
No, just don't be an asshole. Just don't be an asshole.
Don't start nothing. Won't be nothing out in Philly. That's just the way it works. So
this is coming from a guy who literally kept telling me how much he wanted to fight Seahawks fans in San Francisco. And I had to keep saying,
I didn't
Javi, I'm there was not a lot fighting. Of
that, that was my I'm first not thing I came
fighting. Okay. Javi had a couple Dos Equis, maybe and we did have a lot, but he was looking for something. And I kept telling him, chill. But
19-17.
Greatest I'm not a fighter. Ever. I'm not a fighter. I'm a talker, no. Not a fighter. But yeah, Eagles fans, as long as you're not an asshole, I mean, I don't know. I never had any problems. Oh, I appreciate that, Ruben. But then right after that, what's Tech going? Is he making fun of my beard? Is
Tech I don't know.
Making fun of my beard? Damn.
I lost my train of thought here. I guess my biggest thing now is, what do we do versus, you know, with I guess what I'm trying to say is, are the Eagles going to try to take away the middle of the field? Dan Orlovsky put out something today, something to pay attention to with the 49ers offense. How and who are they going to push the ball to the perimeter within this pass game? Ate too much over the middle of the field last week. Great defense will build a cone like Steelers did last year versus the Ravens. Shut that down. My argument to that is when you run an outside zone as effectively as the 49ers do, the middle of the field is going to always be open when you're off the play action. However, when you're not running the play action, that middle of the field is not as open. So how much play action are we really going to use this week, you know, or going forward? This is kind of where I kind of had my issues with Jimmy Garoppolo, period, as a quarterback. It's just like everything's got to be in the middle. Make it easy to see, run, read, and go. Can the Eagles devise a plan to get enough pressure, drop a spot, drop that safety, create this kind of triangle in the middle of the field to where you force him to a dumb decision? Are the Eagles capable of doing that? I don't know, but I don't want to find out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If their linebackers play out of their mind, then maybe. But considering the fact that I do think the Eagles linebackers are just trash and we run the ball effectively and the way Kyle schemes things up with all these similar looks and going left and going right and one person leaks and this, that, and then tight ends, you know, blocking and then leaking out, it's going to be a tall ask for a linebacking group that is just not as proficient as you would want. You know, that's not a top end linebacking crew that they've got out there. And if we are running the ball well, I expect them to be biting quite a bit. And I do think Jimmy will feel comfortable. But the truth is, everybody knows what we want to do. And there are only a few teams that can go out there and actually stop it. And there's only a few that make it really, really tough on us, and that require Jimmy to go, you know, more of a vertical type of offense than he wants to and feels comfortable doing. And this isn't one of those teams where I think the Niners have to really worry about them making them change what they want to do offensively. The Eagles know what they need to stop, but I just don't think they have the personnel in the middle to actually stop it.
Fair enough.
But it's true. But I like that everyone is pointing out, like, that middle of the field is Jimmy's bread and butter.
Yeah.
Like that. And it's true. And we saw it down the stretch in the Super Bowl, and we've seen it in big, big, big games against some top end NFC opponents where they just kind of say, look, we're gonna take this away. We feel confident in our front to be able to stop the run or at least limit it. And we're not going to give you these little slants and rubs over the middle of the field. Like we're going to take that away and we're going to make you go out to the sideline. And he hasn't shown that he can do that consistently enough yet and win that way. All right, you want me to go vertical? I can go vertical. And I just, you know, that's not his game.
No, I agree. You know where I stand on all this. Circle back to Hurts. The Niners are moving Trey Lance and the scout team. So let's get to Kyle on this.
Okay.
There we go.
Yeah, he does the majority of the scout team. I'd say he gets about 80% of it, and then we give Nate about 20%, roughly. And so that's usually the main reps that your number two quarterback gets throughout the year. So that's always tough on that guy. But it's awesome when you do go against a running quarterback and your scout team quarterback has that skill set. And when you don't have that situation, we try to put in some more athletic guys at that spot. But the defense our defense who's trying to play honest kind of gets an idea when you see, like in the last couple of years, you see CJ or Nick doing the passing plays and you see Richie James come in and do a zone read type play or something like that. So it's cool when they get the same guy every time and you never know what's going to happen, which will be how it is for them on Sunday.
Take two more.
Yeah, I think some. I mean, I think that's one of the best things for a quarterback when there is crossover plays, that's great. But also it's kind of good for, you know, rookie quarterbacks when you're on scout team all year. It's also the only spot you just kind of get to relax and play football. You know, when you're trying to do your own offense and go through training camp all the time, you're trying to learn all this new stuff and attack a certain defense. And that one, when you get a card that's handed up, you just look at it. You try to put it into our own play. It doesn't always match. But you kind of get to experiment a lot of stuff. And I think that's a lot more beneficial for the guys if they do get that opportunity.
So when coach is not pissed off, he really gives detailed answers. So I really appreciate the detailed answers.
Yeah.
Where's
the caveat to that, Javi?
Well, I mean, no. It's not having not having CJ running scout team is probably a really big upside to all this.
Can I ask the question that's on my head to you? So it's nice to have a running quarterback when you're facing a running quarterback, right? Yeah. Like, so Trey's allowed to run the ball in practice, but not in games. Like he's allowed to use his legs like Hurts in practice, but not when we put him in. I'm trying to figure out like what we're doing with Trey.
Yeah.
So we're just going to use him to help the offense get used to running quarterbacks, or are we going to, I don't know. I'm reading into that maybe way too much, but I'm just like, wait a second.
I get what you're saying.
I didn't see him run at all in preseason. I've seen him run these half-assed running plays yet last week. But now he's Jalen Hurts, which if you look at the film, Jalen Hurts was moving his ass all over the play. I think he rushed for 60-something yard. I don't know. He's running out right. He's catching receivers. Like, so he can do that then? Like, I don't – okay. All right. I mean, I don't know. When do you unleash the kid? When do you just let him just play football? I'm going to just keep drinking this. I'm done. I heard it, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, I don't –
We don't have to get into that part.
I think everyone, I think you and I and everyone in the comments did not like the way Trey was used against the Lions. Agreed. If they're going to utilize him this week, I mean, I'd like to see more snaps. I'd like to see him throw the ball. Like you want him to be a passer, right, Kyle? Let him run the ball, right? You want him to run the ball. But if you want to use him to his full capabilities, then just let him go out there. Like, come on. Him being as a scout team, which is what he's going to do anyways. He's the second quarterback on the roster.
He's got it, baby. That's what you're
he's going to. but you're asking him to look like Jalen Hurts, who does all these things. Why can't we just use it in the game? Just do it in the game.
And he can do those things.
Yeah. No, so, I know.
All right.
I mean, agree. I just feel like this whole this development plan, it doesn't sound right to me. A lot of this just sounds really weird. You know, let him throw the ball, right? And become in rhythm on this offense. When if you're going to use him, have some rhythm to it, right? Like when he came in and ran those three plays, it was out of rhythm. It kind of stalled the offense twice. You know, outside of the touchdown pass, mm-hmm. It was fine. But it's like, what are we doing? So
yeah, like I mean, I don't know. Sometimes you got to let your players just be a little free and go out there and do the things that they're really good at. And I think you said pretty much the same thing on your Blow the Whistle podcast with Leo. Right. And I think I retweeted it, but it's frustrating. Like when he goes in there and then he runs the plays that he ran, you're like, what? Like, is that really all we got? Cause that sure looked like Harbaugh and Kaepernick. Like when he was going, like, this is our brainiac, like child genius coach. And that's the best offensive play we got. Like, I don't know. I mean, the touchdown was nice. The fake run, like, I get it, but
honestly, I don't.
A little bit more. He can just do a little bit more. If you're going to let him in there, like,
yeah.
Can we just not make the offense look so weird when he goes in there? Like, why does it look so awkward? I think someone said it looked awkward. Yeah. Sean, Big Grinch Anderson, he actually looked awkward and hesitant. And it's true. I don't know, man. You got a Porsche and you're running that thing like a Subaru Outback or something. Like, let's be real safe. Let's be real cautious. Like, yo, let this dude run, man.
Yeah.
Let him just do him. But I'm not the coach. He gets to pay the big bucks. I just hear the video and I'm like, great. At least we have a guy that can prepare our defense for a running quarterback when we have what we think is a premier running quarterback.
You know who used to prepare our defense for running quarterbacks?
Who?
Richie James. I mean,
I had to bring him up.
As always, we get to three keys to win this game. I'm going to start. Three keys to victory. The first one for me, this 49ers team is not built to play from behind. You need to start fast. Score early. Score often. Do not allow yourself to fall behind against the Eagles. Fall behind anyone really, but the Niners, if they get the ball, I don't think they're getting the ball first because they're going to always defer. First drive, you need to score. Do not go into Philadelphia down 7-0 because Philadelphia hasn't had fans in a year like everyone else. But you have to score first. If you get down in Philadelphia, that is a very tough place to play, and Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't played there yet. You know, he played in Mass, but he's on the Patriots. It's different.
Yeah.
So you want to start early, start fast. Kyle's one of the best at opening drive scores, in the league. So I fully expect a touchdown on the first drive. So score first, score early, stay ahead in this game. Obviously, that's the point of the game, to have more points than the other, but just score first and just come out, you know, just come out hot. Don't come out flat. Don't come out struggling or looking really shaky, because Philadelphia will chew you up and spit you out, because that stadium gets really, really loud and raucous.
It does. It does. One of the big things for me is take advantage of trashy middle linebackers. Right? Use what should be a top two best tight end in the NFL. Use him and use him over and over and over again. Make these linebackers look like what their PFF grade is, a 44, a 50, and a 36. Like, that's Wilson, Edwards, and Avery right there. Those are their PFF grades. Again, not the Bible, but that's right there. We should eat, and we should be able to eat all day, right? Their defensive line is good. I want us to take advantage, use our tight ends over the middle, and use that run game. And, you know, Barnett is a guy I like a lot, but I think with Trent Williams, handling him. I think let's run that ball. Let's get that ball by 71 a little bit more. Let's get that to the left a little bit if we can and take advantage. So let's see.
Yeah. My other key to victory, second key, is time of possession. Control the clock. The Niners lost time of possession to Detroit in week one. Something that we did in 2019 on the pod was we would pay attention to defensive snap counts, and we figured 60 to 65 snaps is ideal for a defense. They had 84 offensive snaps. 84. Or I'm sorry, defensive snaps. That's too many.
Yeah.
And you want, you know, you get teams get hurt, teams get, obviously we saw the injuries, teams get gassed. And then, of course, in our situation, Niners are up, guys were coming out of the game. You have to ramp them back up. So keep the Eagles under 60 offensive snaps and you should be fine. And control the time of possession, run the shit out of the ball, you know, make them long offensive drives, make them have to score, make them have to push the ball, because then you might force Jalen Hurts into some mistakes. So control time and possession, control the clock, run the ball down their throat. That is the recipe for success in this game.
Yeah. Let's see. I've got tight ends, run the ball, and let's keep the football away from Robbie Gould's foot. Like, let's just put it in the end zone, man. That's my touchdowns. Red zone touchdowns. I want red zone efficiency all day. Red zone efficiency, and don't take our foot off the gas.
Yeah, killer instinct has to happen here. Kyle needs to just keep it going. The third key to victory here, it's just the corners play sound football. I don't need you to be anything. You don't try to be the hero at cornerback, because you want to jump around on Devontae Smith. You want to jump something for Jalen Reagor. The corners, just do your job. Literally, just do your job. You should be fine. The front four should be able to get home and create enough pressure to make Hurts uncomfortable. So I would go with the corners. Do your job here. Try to force a turnover, but if you can just limit explosive plays in the secondary, that is ideal, because we allowed too many explosive plays against Detroit.
These are the kind of games where, you know, Jimmy Ward gets a lot of heat for not trying to take the big play, right? And these are the kind of games where you can appreciate a guy playing the safety position, the free safety position at a high level and sound, because these are wide receivers that can absolutely take it to the next level. And if we bite, it's going to come down to Jimmy making a big tackle for one of these guys and to avoid giving up a massive play, a touchdown, a Hail Mary, those kind of things. And Jimmy will take care of business. As long as our corners hold long enough, Jimmy will wrap up. We'll keep these guys out of the end zone. No big plays, no big 70-yard touchdown bomb, 60-yard, like none of that. As long as our defensive line does their job, we stay disciplined, Jimmy will do his job on the back end and make sure that they don't hit that home run. As long, again, as we do our job up front.
Yeah, absolutely. The Niners should come out with a win in this game.
We have to come out with a win.
We're going to get to questions here in a second, but I wanted to touch on this one last topic before we do that.
I'm good. I have my Garoppolo. Beer.
Yeah, yep. Have a beer. Jimmy Garoppolo was on KMBR in San Francisco. Brian Murphy of the Murphy Mac Show. Jimmy Garoppolo was asked about Mark Sanchez's comments after the Trey Lance touchdown. Jimmy Garoppolo, Murph asked him on Mark Sanchez. Yeah, Mark Sanchez. Jimmy G on Mark Sanchez saying it was hard to give a hug to Trey after the TD pass. Jimmy Garoppolo replied, "He's not wrong. It is what it is. Type of situation. Kyle called the package. He's the head coach. Whatever he calls goes. You can only control what you can control. But yeah, it is what it is." And, you know, he was referring to, when he said he's not wrong, you know, Mark Sanchez said that was the hardest hug to give a guy, give Trey Lance the hug after that touchdown. Because Jimmy got him down there, because the third and six to Sanu converted to a first down. And then, you know, it's a 5-yard touchdown next play from Trey Lance. You know, he snapped a touchdown from him.
Sure.
I think we've said this all along. Jimmy understands the situation here. He knows he's not long for this team. Do you think at some point this could boil over and become a problem? Or is Jimmy too much of a pro to let it become an issue?
I'll tell you when Jimmy will speak his mind, and Jimmy will speak his mind when he's on another team. And Jimmy will be professional Jimmy until he leaves the 49ers. And even then, he'll use his words wisely, but he'll give us a little bit more. Like, oh my gosh, it was the hardest year of my life. Like, you'll hear Jimmy say something like that, because I knew what I could do. And they, you know, they decided to go down a different path, which is fair. And these are all appropriate comments for him. But Jimmy's a pro, and he's going to sit there. And as long as we're getting wins, he's not going to say a word. So I wish someone paid me $26 million to be a pro at work, right? I hear that all day. But that's how Jimmy's going to go about it. Jimmy is not broke. Jimmy has some swagger this year. I love everything about what Jimmy's bringing to the table, the way he's talking to the media, even the way he's going out there and playing. Like, he did a good job last week. And yeah, I'm sure it's awful to get your team down there and then that you have your coach wave you off to the sideline and then the rookie throws the first touchdown for the Niners for the year. Like, that's annoying for sure. Yeah. But Jimmy's too much of a pro to leak that out. I mean, he was a Patriot. You know how they roll about keeping stuff in house. I mean, This guy's going to play his cards right. And then when he goes to another team, that's when he's going to sit there and say, this last year was the hardest year of my life.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think he's, he's a team player. Like, he's going to be
as long as we're winning, as long as we win.
Yeah, as long as we're winning, we may not have any issues at all. And, you know, they should win 9-10 games. That should be, you know, they should have a winning record when the season's all done. As far as his comments, I listened to the entire interview. I think there was a little bit too much made of the comments. And it's part, and I don't, my tweet, my I retweeted it, and I put some photos from an Albert Breer piece from the game on Sunday. And Jimmy understands his role and understands his time with the team is short. So Jimmy, like when he said it is what it is, he understands. And I think that's the best part about all this. He's been a pro throughout all of it.
Yeah.
So
what more do you want him to say? Like, what can he say?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck this. I don't, like, I should be out there. Like, he knows he can't say that. So you know what? Like, people need to stop asking him, first of all, because he's not going to break. He's too much of a pro, and he's going to say all the right things.
He's a good dude.
He's a great dude. I mean, he's a guy that you absolutely want under center. Like, he is that kind of quarterback. He's articulate, a little charming sometimes. He's funny, but it's all about the team, and he keeps things in house, and he says the right things. I mean, that's what you want your quarterback to do. And, you know, he's in a really tough position. I don't envy that whatsoever.
Absolutely. Shout out to Jimmy. He did look.
He's looking fucking good, man.
On Sunday. Shout out to him. So there's a couple of questions in the chat here. Let's get to a couple of these here. Jesse from Last Second Sports, are you worried that the new team's identity is offense? This team is built to be defense and run, but I'm not sure the defense can do that with all these early injuries. I wouldn't use the term worried, because I think the offense can be successful. I guess my issue becomes, can they keep pace on offense would be the issue. Because I think the Niners can score points, but can they score points as quickly as, say, a Seattle, right? Because Russell can throw a 60-yard bomb and then they're up 17-10. You know what I mean? Like a quick score like that, and then the Niners have to come back out, and it may take longer for them to match that. You know, you can – you know, the momentum shifts happen in a game, right? And they keep pace with, you know, we all know the Packers look like shit on Sunday, but it's Aaron Rodgers. Can they keep pace with that offense, right? Can they do that? What about Tom Brady and the Bucks? What about the Cowboys with CeeDee Amari and all those weapons that they have there? Defensively, I think they're going to be fine. My issue is just hopefully D'Amador continues to improve. And hopefully, E-Man is healthy, and they should be okay. You know, they may not be the 2019 secondary because obviously Sherman was shutting down his third. He had some miscues in 2019, but for the most part, they were solid on the back end. This 2021 team is going to be very reliant on four-man pressure, seven-man dropping into coverage. I don't think they're going to want to send all those blitzes that they had anticipated to do because Verrett's gone. So now you don't want to take your best coverage linebacker out of coverage, right? You're not going to send Fred all the damn time on a blitz. So I'm not so much worried about the identity being offense. I'm just more worried about can they keep pace. And keeping pace would be, can Jimmy do a three-play drive, right? Can we throw a 60-yard bomb downfield? And I'm not talking about the one to Debo where he takes the rest of it down the field. I'm talking about a 9 route on the outside of the numbers, beating a corner, and Jimmy hits him in stride, and boom, it's a quick 2-play drive, touchdown. You're matching points with the other offense.
Yeah. I think it's fair to worry if the offense being an offensive centric team, or at least that being our go-to, you know, can we keep up? But I think for a couple years now, I've said, I mean, the 2019 team, right, that went to the Super Bowl, you can't ask a defense to do that year over year. Like that, what they did at the pressure, at the rate in which they did it, you just can't do that. I mean, that's, and to compare a team to another year, I mean, injuries, this and that. I mean, look at the work rate of Bosa. I mean, you can't ask for these guys to do that. And I've said, and I know I've spoken to you, Javi, about it, is we need Jimmy to improve. And this was back in 2019. This was after the Super Bowl. I was like, look, I can't expect the Niners to have that kind of showing on defense, that dominant defense, the way it looked in the playoffs. You can't expect that. So we're going to need Jimmy to get a little bit better, right? Cut some of those turnovers, cut him down in half or close to half, and be a little more efficient because our offense is going to have to take it another notch because there's no way our defense is going to be able to sustain that or get better. It's probably going to drop off a little bit. So we're going to need our offense to step up, and we're in the same boat.
Yeah.
We need our offense to put up 30 plus points every game.
Yeah.
Right. And that's just the truth of it. And we are more than capable of it. We have all the weapons to do that. But like you said, can our quarterback, when the middle's taken, when those 15 yards, when those 10 yards over the middle, when that's eaten up, can he stretch the field using that arm the way Russell Wilson does, right? Move around a little bit and chuck that thing 60 yards and get a touchdown, you know? And I'm not sure. I know last week he looked mobile. He looked spry. He took some shots, but it's a little different. It's a little different when the defense is good enough to say, hey, from quarter one to quarter four, you're not getting this. So you beat us this way. If you're going to throw the ball, this is where you're going to have the openings. And if you can't do it, then, you know, we're betting on you not being able to do this. So I don't know. But I think our offense will be all right. I think Kyle's going to give us all the chances in the world to get the points we need.
Absolutely. Teron, shout out to Teron in the comments. Non-football question for me, being a former sailor, do you still fold your shirts the same way you did in the boot camp? It has been 11 years now since I've been out, and the answer is no. However, I still fold my socks the same way. It's like a really weird roll, and it's like, it's hard to explain, but there's like a smiley face that has to show a certain way, and I kind of stack them in my drawer that way. That's your the socks. Only thing I could do. Yeah, the military has a weird way. So like you stack them on top of each other, and you roll it, and then you kind of fold it over, and it creates like a little smiley face, and that's how they did it in boot camp. You stack them, and I swear to God, on your little, we have a coffin locker, so you'd open the coffin locker for inspection. You'd have your socks on one area, and they all had to be lined up, and they all had to have that little smiley face or whatever. So,
well, I'm drinking, I'm cracking my last beer to that. smiley face. I just thought you folded things in like triangles. That's what I thought.
No, we did. So your shirts are, it's called skinny, fat, fat, skinny, or fat, yes. Skinny, fat, fat, skinny. So the way the shirt was folded, you have like really thin, thick, thick, and then thin. It's just really weird how they did that. So Navy, it is what it is. Zach Greer, it's not a Asante Samuels question. finally. Thoughts on D'Amico Ryan so far? One game based on one rewatch of the game. I thought he was okay. The injuries started to pile up. You know, you lose. I'm not the biggest Dre Greenlaw fan. Al-Shahir filled in nicely. Once Verrett went down, things were very, very shaky as we saw those final 8 minutes. I thought defensively, the defensive line is fine. You just got to get away from that wide nine on early downs and stop playing so much zone with Fred. I think D'Amico's going to be fine. I think we said it pre-Lions game show. Don't fuck this up, D'Amico, right? You have the keys to Ferrari. Don't mess this up. He didn't mess it up, but he got a couple dents on the Ferrari. So you got to take it to the shop, retool, and relook, you know, relook things over and hopefully get away from this wide nine stuff, especially on first and second down. You want to run the wide nine, run it on obvious passing downs. Like, just don't, yeah. I don't think running it early on early downs is smart. That's all.
Yeah, I definitely think that my one thing about D'Amico was when Verrett went down and as that all started to happen and we had a pretty substantial lead, you take your foot off the gas a little bit and you just play a little soft. And again, we had the lead, so I get giving them those underneath, you know, middle range, 10 yards here, 15. But it looked like we really went. We went conservative to another level a little too quickly with as much time as we had going on in the fourth. And they took advantage of that. But overall, I'd say it was a pretty nicely called game by D'Amico for the most part.
Yeah, I thought he did fine. Mm-hmm. Wasn't too bad. Outside of the wide nine stuff, it just kind of irritates me. we touched on this last pod. Javier Fern, do you really think that the bomb to Debo was legit? I think a better defense that would have been picked. A better corner probably makes a play. I don't know about picked. I will give Jimmy credit because after rewatching it, he got absolutely destroyed as he threw that ball.
He definitely did.
He got destroyed. He put it where only his, I guess I wouldn't say only his receiver can get it, but he put it in a spot. He got a little bit lucky. It's not a perfect throw. Debo admitted that it wasn't perfect, but sometimes you need a little bit of luck, and the Niners got their little bit of luck that play. So yeah. I'm not, I mean, I'm more happy he got up after that hit because he got smoked.
He did get smoked, and I'm going to say that wasn't a perfectly thrown ball. That's all I'm going to say. I know someone else disagrees with me out there, but to say that was a perfectly thrown ball is absolute bullshit. But I will say that, and that's a tough play for a corner too, right? I mean, Debo's fast enough, and he's out there trying to go step for step, and he doesn't know the quarterback threw it short just quite yet. So Debo did a really good job last second coming right back to that ball. He didn't give the no tells. Like you literally saw him run, and then just kind of go underneath the corner and go back and grab that ball. So there's a great play by him to be able to go back there and take that. That was not a perfectly thrown ball. It was the right ball, the right person to throw to.
Yeah.
But it was not a perfectly thrown ball. And I will say, odds are Jimmy throws it a little short anyway, because that's just Jimmy's thing. He doesn't ever really step into it and just let it go. But he got drilled. So I'll give him that. I didn't quite get out there. But I will say, Javi, like we're answering these questions. Don't we usually get so many questions from the ladies?
Yeah, I think feel like we have. Asleep,
they must have fallen asleep. I feel like we haven't got any questions from the ladies.
It's all right. What do you got next? They'll be back. Let's see here. Teron in the questions, on certain packages, would you like to see Ward play some corner? Move Tart to free safety and Hufanga at strong if our young corners are struggling during the games? Yes. Maybe and situationally. No. Yes, because Ward is probably your best coverage guy right now because Verrett's gone. No, because Ward is so good at his job at free safety. Like, I don't want him to be moving around too much. Now, what I will say is maybe just play the three safety look. Tart, Hufanga, Ward, use that. And, you know, and just go with Fred out there. You know, you have like a big dime package, you know, and a Tart's big enough to play that Will linebacker spot, and Hufanga can do that stuff too, but you risk the run game being ran at these guys. You know, you don't want to get a lineman on Hufanga or Tart, and those guys get washed out. So it gets situationally really weird. I would not want to see Ward at corner. Although if they needed him to, I'm sure he would be able to do so because he is that good.
Yeah,
it's a tough spot that they're in, the cornerback spot. We hit on it earlier. It's just a tough spot right now.
I definitely think that situationally, I think it could work, especially if you disguise it nice enough where it looks like he's playing safety and he comes out and takes over. But it's tough to ask him because he is as reliable safety as you can get. So it's tough to have him switch up and play a little corner. But maybe situationally, I could see it.
Yeah.
Oh, so we got Melissa. Lady,
I have a question for you guys. Ambry or Sermon, who do we see first? Well, we saw Ambry first. He was active versus the Lions.
This week it'll be starter. Sermon.
As far as starting, yeah, I would assume Sermon would be, you'd see Sermon before you see Ambry this week.
Sermon's getting that.
Let's do another question.
Handoff.
How many carries does Sermon get this week? Over, under on 8? Taking the over, or you taking the under?
Ooh, I'm taking over.
Over on 8, okay.
What about you? You think less than 8?
No, I think 8's probably right there. I'm probably going to push.
Does he get more carries than Elijah?
No. I think Elijah's going to get 15 to 20. Easy.
Ooh. I know Jason posted something about somebody spending really high in free agent money and picking up Elijah. I was one of those guys this week because Raheem went down and I needed a back. So I went all in. I threw in all that money for Elijah because I figured after last week's performance, at least he's going to get another week or two getting some decent amount of handoffs. And if he does well, then who knows? So anyway.
Yeah. PFF grades on the offensive line for the Eagles. I know they're all pretty high. I don't have them in front of me.
Yeah, I got them. Let's see. Which one is this on the Eagles defensive line or offensive line?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we've got, if I start on the right, so Lane Johnson's out here at a 62.3. Moving in to right guard, Brandon Brooks is a 60.9. Kelsey at center's a 55.7. And then we've got some difficult pronouncing names. Isaac Siomalo. I butchered that, but that's all right. 54.6 at left guard. And then lastly at left tackle, Jordan Mailata. Did I do that right? Is that sort of good? 71.3. So,
meh.
I mean, it's decent. I mean, it's and in all honesty, though, but Kelsey at center, Johnson at right. Like, it's still solid enough.
Yeah, but Brooks is coming off an Achilles tear.
Mm-hmm.
Johnson had ankle issues all last year, so those guys will be fine as long as they remain healthy. Mailata just got paid, and Samelio, he's also he's decent at left guard. But I would, if I'm the Niners, I'm running that nitro package all game long, as many times as you want to. That nitro package was Bosa, Ibukam, Armstead, and Ford. Run it as much as
you can. Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, Bosa 87.6 after the first week. Like, I mean, coming off an ACL. Like, how good is Bosa? I mean, it's unreal. Armstead, even if people want to shit on Armstead, I don't know why. 77.3. DJ with an 82.3. And again, that's PFF. That's just not, I mean, I don't really know how to take that. Not the Bible, but I mean, we have some matchup issues for sure.
Shout out to Jordan Elliott. Is he running leak? I'm assuming he's asking if Kyle's going to run leak. He better run leak after the Mullins debacle last year. They better run leak at least once to make up for last year.
Mullins,
man.
Guys, you don't even want to know. I was sitting outside. I threw it up on a projector because it was still nice enough to wear like a hoodie and a fire pit. Like, it was beautiful.
The wealth.
I grabbed beer. I was by myself. I wasn't even with people because I don't really enjoy watching football with people because I'm just an asshole. And my family's inside and I'm watching Nick just, oh my God, just throw garbage pass. Why the interceptions, the picks, like it was the worst experience I had. And I set it up so nicely with this nice case of beer and the projector, the pool in the background with the light. Like it was beautiful. It was beautiful to watch the Niners just shit the bed after I talked shit all fucking week. So none of that for me anymore. We got to take a win.
Cassidy, who has a better offensive line, Niners or Eagles? I'm going to say it's probably even, but the Niners have the better, the much, much better left tackle. Because I think Lane Johnson and Trent Williams can almost wash each other out. Mailata and they're obviously they play on the opposite sides. So, but Mailata and McGlinchey are similar. Brandon Brooks is really good. Lakin Tomlinson's really good. Alex Mack and Kelsey are about the same age. And then the, you know, the weak spot is Brunskill and Semelio or Salemio, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
So I think I would say they're about even. They're still both, they're both pretty good though. They're both pretty good.
Yeah, honestly, if we're looking at 2021 PFF grades and if we're just because we went off the PFF grades for the Eagles, I mean, it is similar. I mean, it looks like we're stronger in the guard play. We've got the stronger left tackle.
Yeah.
But I mean, McGlinchey was a 51, Mac was a 59.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where, you know, they had beat us at center and right tackle, but I like our offensive line better. I mean, just looking at the names and just looking at it, I think we have an edge there. And
then you add in Kittle as your extension of the left or right tackle.
Exactly. So, I mean, but that's where it's just like Kittle cannot just, I know he's the best blocking tight end in football, but he can't just be blocking fucking people.
Yeah.
You know, like he's really fucking good at it, right? The best in the league, but he's got to be out there catching passes too at a higher clip than the amount of targets he received. Absolutely. I mean, I need double-digit targets this week. Do we have Melissa with another one, though?
Let's see.
Wait.
She said,
I still get a kick that people don't take Miles seriously just because he was Saquon's backup. I'm not sure where that one.
Oh, this is in the comments they're chatting about.
Oh, they're having fun in the comments. All
right. Yeah, comment section's on fire right now. That's pretty solid. But we're going to get out of here. Before we go, as always, make sure you are subscribed to the YouTube channel. Subscribe, rate, review the podcast, Fourth and Goal Podcast, on all platforms, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And then starting week three, every 49er win, as long as you're tuned in or on this live stream or listening in your car or however you listen to the podcast, we will be giving you a code, and you got to tweet that code out or use the Instagram hashtags. I have to set up a Fourth and Goal Podcast Instagram.
Residency. You have one?
Oh, I don't know. Yours are in the mail. I've been told they're in the mail, but I just got another one. So these residency hats, we'll be giving three hats away every 9 win. So whether it's this black one, this red one, or the tan one.
That red one is fire.
Yeah, this red one's pretty dope. We will be giving those away. So stay tuned. Every 49er win after week three, we will be doing that. And then again, for YouTube listeners, podcast listeners, I still have two tickets for the Indianapolis Colts versus the 49ers on Sunday Night Football.
Come on, people.
I'm going to give them away. We will be announcing that on the pregame pod for the Packers game. So that way people know who the winner is. But we're doing that, and then, of course, once we get to 1,000 subscribers, we will put your name into a little online drawing and send you guys a Kittle jersey, female or male, doesn't matter. So we'll get you taken care of. So a lot of giveaways. We are hoping to hook everybody up on stuff. But, again, if you need anything from us, feel free to reach out on Twitter. I'm Javi. That is Fern. As always, follow me on Twitter at @JaviRVeg_. Follow my guy Fernando here at
DZ0880.
And we're on to Philadelphia. Everyone out there who's going to the game, stay safe. Don't start no shit. Won't be no shit. You'll be all right. And go Niners.